This podcast is being brought to you in association with Manscaped.com. To get all your latest Manscaped products, head to their website, manscaped.com, and use our code FIGHT20. It is, of course, the festive season. Our very own St. Nick swears by these products. You're going to be eating turkey this Christmas. You're going to be getting stuck into your spuds. There's going to be pigs in blankets all over your plate. And you want your nether regions to be resembling your Christmas dinner. Shave off all the fuzz and look like a turkey in the shop window this Christmas. FIGHT20 is the code. FIGHT20 on manscaped.com. What are you laughing at?
Jingle bells.
This is Fight Disciples.
Welcome to podcast number 443. We are the Fight Disciples. This one's dedicated to the world of boxing. Lots to talk about this week. And if it's the first time you've ever come across us, you can, of course, get us on iTunes. Fight Disciples is what you're looking for. Our website is up and running for you as well, fightdisciples.com. Where you can get all the Android feeds to the podcast. You can also get all the links to our social media pages and our YouTube page. Apologies, we didn't put anything up last week. We had a busy week, but we endeavoured to put some YouTube stuff up there this week, mainly off the back of some of the talking points that we're going to get stuck into in this podcast. Thank you very much for all your support over the last, 4 years or so. If you've been here from the start, we appreciate it. If you're new, we appreciate it as well. So thank you very much for getting on the Fight Disciples train. We endeavour to get you closer to the sport. Our aim is to talk to you like you talk to your mates in the pub. And hopefully we can bring some insider knowledge that people have told us to the show. We're not supposed to say half the stuff that we say on the programme, but fuck it, man. This is our show. We do what we want. So if we've got it, we'll let you know all about it. Now,
quick apology before you get in. There's a few people have ordered t-shirts. Obviously, with the lockdown, I've got issues getting to the post office, but I will endeavour to get to the post office this week. There is no issue in ordering our Proper Tackle beer. Proper Tackle beer comes from a different distributor, not just me putting it in an envelope and having to go to the post office. So if you have ordered t-shirts from fightdisciples.com, from the website, or pin badges, whatever it may be. I think there's half a dozen t-shirts that need posting and I've done for a week. I will try and get it sorted this week. And also, people have been asking like crazy. Yes, I promise we will have a new t/hoodie design in time for Christmas.
Will we?
Don't worry. Don't worry.
Nice. I like it. Yeah. I actually thought you were going to apologize because you're doing the podcast around your children this week. So therefore, the language that people normally come to expect won't necessarily be here for them this week. The effing and jeffing, Pete, won't be there. I can. I'm sat in my basement. They can't hear me. You've got your headphones in, so I can go for it. But you're going to be a little bit more restrained. Maybe no C-bombs. No C-bombs this week.
Well, I'm just asking you not to raise anything controversial. Like Lord Voldemort, anything like that. Try and just bear in mind me little lads in the next room with a set of headphones on, watching, playing Minecraft or whatever. I just need to be careful. He's been sent home from school for 2 weeks because somebody in the year group's parents tested positive. So the fucking whole year group's got to stay at home for 2 weeks. I was asking him as well. I was like, do you even know that kid? And he was like, don't even like him, Dad. He's not my mate. I'm like, well, why are you off then? Why are you off? You don't even interact with him, for fuck's sake. But anyway, yes. So if I'm watching me P's and Q's, even though I've just dropped an F-bomb it's because the main man's next door and I don't want to, warp his mind.
When it comes to swears, it's only the C-bomb that you don't really want them saying, isn't it? You know what I mean? That's the only thing. Like my kids now, we've got to the stage now, whereas the softer swear words, I don't even class bloody, for example, as a swear word, right?
No.
That's just part of my rhetoric. But my wife has this thing, if they go to school and they say this, then it's all back on you. So now I've got my my kids pulling me up every single time I say something, right? So I never do the Fs and the Cs and all that type of stuff in front of them. But the bloodies, I mean, they're every 2 minutes. They're out there every 2 minutes. So I've got now my four-year-old daughter going, Daddy, bloody. She literally just says that to me. And I go, yeah, no worries. I'm on it.
Where do you stand on child-friendly variations of swears?
Nah, fuck off. Not interested in that. not interested in that.
Because I dropped them all the time.
Fudge. No, fuck off, you knobhead. What are you doing? I'd rather not swear. I'd rather not swear than use a child friendly. Oh, darn it. Oh, darn it. Oh, sugar. Fuck off, you knobhead. Stop doing that.
If I stumped my toe or something, or like the other day I was fixing the fence to try and fucking stop this dog from escaping, and Alex was in earshot, and I was banging in a fence post, and obviously it just got carried away, missed completely, slid down the post, hammer hits me thumb,
yeah,
and just a complete reaction, and midway through the swear, and had to accommodate it, so it was like a mother fluffer. And then about 2 days later, he's playing on his iPad. He's playing, I don't know, he's playing Roblox or something. And he obviously got killed and he just went, mother fluffer. And I was just like, Jane was like, what have you just said? And I was like, oh no, oh no. She was like, that's just as bad. That's, you can't go to school and be like, mother fluffer.
Anyway. Brilliant. Just whilst we're on this topic, my kids love a Sunday roast. Love a Sunday roast, right?
And every time you're so lucky.
Every time they come home from school during the week, they always ask me what's for tea or dinner, as if you're in the South listening to the show. And my daughter asked me, like, let's say in the middle of the week, what's for tea tonight, Daddy? And I always say food, right? I'm just that guy. Food. What type of food? Food that you can put in your mouth, right? I haven't figured it out yet. You're gonna get some food. And she threw at me. She went, Sunday roast? And my little lad from across the room went, Sunday roast? It's only bloody Tuesday. Honestly, shit. I went, whoa, before your mum gets home, right? Whoa. We're not doing that here, all right? It's only bloody Tuesday.
He's got a point.
Yeah, he has. He has. You can't have a Sunday roast on a Tuesday. Anyway. How disappointed are you on a scale of 1 to 10 if you're a boy?
I would say disappointed on a scale of 10. Winning 11 rounds, hardly taking a clean shot.
Oh, fuck off. If this was Tia Fimo, right, you'd have been all Look over this, business. You shit house. Stop it. Listen.
I thought he was incredible.
Oh, fuck off!
Honestly,
was an absolute masterclass.
If Devin Haney puts that performance in after a card that was actually decent and not one of the worst knockover cards in Matchroom history, I think people are getting waxing a bit more lyrical. But the card was atrocious, and then you were treated to 12-round clinic. And by then, we didn't want to see a clinic. By then, we wanted to see an actual fight. So I think it was. I blame the undercard for everyone's reaction to Devin Haney.
Rubbish. Stop it now, right? Devin Haney had an opportunity at the weekend just to remind everybody where he stands in this lightweight division. I agree, he puts on a clinic. It is a masterclass. Of course it is. He wins it. In fact, I give him 12. He won every round. He pissed it. But there comes a point in a fight where you've got to show that you're the real deal. He was attempting to be Money Mayweather, right? Rather than Pretty Boy Floyd. And we've seen Teofimo talk about this of recent times. He's coasting the fight. He's fighting a 38-year-old veteran who's coming off the back of reconstructive Achilles surgery. He is not the Gamboa of 10 years ago. Get in there. It was a safe performance, a very safe performance. If at round 6, you've boxed his ears off, right, go on, son, put your foot down. Let's show a little bit of spite. Let's show a bit of nastiness. Even if you don't get it, that's fine. Terence Crawford does this. Terence Crawford always looks for the stoppage. Sometimes it doesn't come. You can't force it. If it's not there, it's not there. But at least go for it. He never went for it once. He never had Gamboa in any type of problems. And that is why I come away from this fight disappointed, because I wanted to sit here with you today going, right, mate, the fight is Teofimo and Devin. That's the fight. Let's go. It is not the fight. I don't care what anybody says right now. If he goes in with Teofimo Lopez next, he'll get fucking marmalized, right? And it's a bad move. Do not do it. Don't get me wrong. On the microphone at the end of the fight, he's mentioning Teo's name. That's sound, right? But absolutely nowhere whatsoever should he be fighting Teofimo Lopez next. The fight, and now he's got to start fighting proper fighters rather than tin cans, and that's not disrespect to Gamboa. The fight is the winner of Garcia Campbell. Whoever wins that fight has to fight Devin Haney next. Otherwise, what is the whole point of this WBC bullshit? Neither of them are world champion at the moment. I know that one's for the interim belt. This one, I mean, it's a farce that there's a belt even in Devin Haney's hands at the moment, because we knew that Lomachenko was the champion, and now obviously it's Teofimo Lopez. That's not his fault. That's the governing body. That's an argument for a different day. He's just got to crack on. But the fight for him is Garcia Campbell. It is not Teofimo Lopez. And I've seen so many people go in, oh, he's only 21 years of age. He's, you know, and all this type of... Hang on a minute. That wasn't the fucking chat last week. That was not the chat last week. Why all of a sudden is that the chat now? He's 22 next week. He's Devin Haney. Tank's just turned 26 last Friday, I think it was, or whatever it may be. And Lopez has obviously just turned 23. There's 15 months between Lopez and Haney. So don't go OTT on the age thing. At the end of the day, at 22 years of age, Tank was smashing Jose Pedraza to bits. Yes, it was super featherweight. I get that. So maybe that's a totally different argument because we're talking about a totally different division. But at 22 years of age, Teofimo Lopez was put into sleep Richard Commey. Put into sleep in two rounds. And Richard Commey is a proper fighter. A proper, proper fighter. So don't give me this age bullshit. At the end of the day, people develop at different rates. Absolutely. Devin Haney is not developing as quick as Teofimo Lopez. And if they fought next, he'd get smashed to bits. End. There you go.
Listen, you've just hit the nail on the head. People develop at different stages.
So don't come make the physically. So don't, right? When we're all on there and I'm listening to the TV broadcast and I'm listening to the promoter and all this type of stuff, don't give me the bullshit. He's not ready. He is not ready for the big boy yet.
But in the aftermath, though, all I seen Haney talk about was Ryan Garcia, Luke Campbell winner, or potentially Gervonta Davis. I didn't see him make him. It was the TV that was making noise about him fighting Teofimo Lopez.
Well, hang on. I don't think Devin Haney was making that noise. All week, right? And I don't know whether this is getting this off his dad or whatever, but Devin Haney all week was promising us a killer knockout. He was all week. Every interview I saw him, he's like going, I'm going to smash this guy to bits. I'm going to make a statement. You've seen Tank last week. You've seen Teofimo Lopez. Fuck them. I'm the guy at lightweight. I'll show you what it's all about. Blah, 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 blah. And then we get that. Come on, man. Come on. Am I wrong? I'm not wrong. If this was the other way around, you'd be saying the exact same thing about Teofimo, wouldn't you?
Yeah, listen, I'm just saying, you're right. People develop at different stages. And right now, Teofimo Lopez is peaking, and he may well get even better when he gets even bigger. We don't know, but at the moment, he looks phenomenal. And I think Devin Haney is probably 2 years away from that level. He doesn't look like he's quite peaking yet. He certainly hasn't got that man strength coming through.
No.
He's got the skills to pay the bills.
Absolutely.
We know that. I prefer the chat about a fight with Ryan Garcia, Luke Campbell winner. That's the fight for Devin Haney.
Yeah.
Teofimo Lopez, the fight with him is Tank. That's the fight to me, because that will buy Devin Haney 12 months at least. And I think he needs those 12 months. In fact, you know, judging by recent performances, and we can only go on recent performances, if I'm team Devin Haney, man, I'm in no rush to fight Teofimo Lopez right now whatsoever.
Yeah, but this is the problem, right? And this is why I'm... Do you know something? You can obviously hear frustration and annoyance in what I'm saying. I don't blame Devin Haney whatsoever, because Devin Haney's a top fighter and I like the lad. I've spent a bit of time with him. I like him, really like him, and I want him to be successful and I want him to be in these super fights with the guys that we're making. I'm pissed off that the WBC have kind of created this situation for us, because he's got a target on his back now. They're marketing him, and he's promoter. Eddie, you're to blame for this as well, mate. You're targeting him as the WBC lightweight champion of the world. And when that happens, all of a sudden, the development stage of your career is over, lads. It's over.
Yeah, exactly.
You're the champ.
You've got to take fights.
You've got to take the proper fights now. You've got to take the proper boys on. He ain't ready for that yet. And this franchise champion, all these belts that get thrown at fighters these days, that has created a bad situation for Devin Haney. If Devin Haney is not a champion now, there's no belt on the line at the weekend, then he's fighting Urokis Gamboa, and he puts in that performance. Do you think I'm as harsh as I am right now? No, I'm fucking not. I sit here and go, he's still learning. He's still cracking on. He's still doing his thing. But no, we're being rammed that he is the WBC lightweight champion of the world. That was not a good enough performance for a WBC lightweight champion of the world. End of.
No. Well, he isn't the WBC lightweight champion of the world, is he? That's the thing. That's the WBC fucking this up. But what I would say is, just looking at this now, the aftermath of it, as I say, Team Devin Haney now, or certainly Devin Haney himself was making noises like, right, it's for me, it's Ryan Garcia, but I've got this thing going with Javonta Davis where they just can't get over the fact that I'm earning more money than you. No, I'm earning more money than you. No, I've got more money than you. Well, Floyd said you don't even own your car. Well, Floyd told me that you never even got this for your last fight. They're like two little bitches, aren't they? Both Devin Haney and Javonta are acting like two little bitches in the schoolyard. I think there's a real play going on here. If Garcia beats Luke Campbell, and that's a fucking big if.
Yeah.
If Garcia manages to beat Luke Campbell, I think there's a big push then for Garcia versus Haney because they both look physically at a similar stage in terms of the best is yet to come from them both. They've both got met. They're both trapped in boys' bodies still. Whereas Javonta and Teofimo, they're a lot more physically strong. Look a lot more like men. However, if Luke Campbell beats Ryan Garcia, and I think he will beat Ryan Garcia, by the way, then I think Devin Haney and Tank, they start making that happen because Floyd knows he could turn that into a series of fights, make a shed load of money, and not have to deal with Bob Arum in terms of Teofimo. So I think Devin Haney ends up fighting Tank next year instead. The beauty of all this is, these guys don't want to face Teofimo. So if Luke Campbell does what I think he's going to do against Ryan Garcia, and that's take him to school a little bit and take him into the deep rounds and win on points, then I think the coast is clear, the road is clear for Luke Campbell to fight Teofimo Lopez because none of these kids want to. In their heart of hearts, they don't want to face Teofimo. Don't get me wrong. He's the fucking number one guy in the division for a reason. And boy, Luke Campbell's up against it. Well, you tell me, you ring Luke Campbell now and ask Luke Campbell, who do you want to fight? He can fight anybody. Yep. Who will it be? And Luke Campbell will go, the fucking guy at the top of the tree with all the belts. Are you shitting me? Of course. I'll fight Teofimo tomorrow. So I think the way this is playing out, all these kids fighting with each other over money and all this bollocks, Instagram followers, Luke Campbell just slips in there, does a number on Ryan Garcia. The road is clear straight for Teofimo. If Teofimo sticks around, if Teofimo doesn't stick around and moves up a weight division, then I think Luke Campbell is in pole position to win a vacant title belt. So the way it's played out is brilliant for Luke Campbell.
It is going to be interesting to see how all this plays out, man. It really is, because we're really lucky that they've all been fighting in a close proximity of each other when it comes to date-wise, hasn't it? So they've all seen what the other guy's done. If I'm Ryan Garcia now, though, I'm looking at this going, right, here we go. This is real. And if I'm Oscar, and I know we're going to talk about Oscar and Canelo and all that type of shit in a minute, I'd be in his ear going, this is it, man. This is your moment now. You finish this kid, or you beat this kid, an Olympic gold medalist. You beat an Olympic gold medalist. Jeez, man. Yep. The world is your oyster. You're going to overtake Devin Haney with a performance against someone like a Luke Campbell. Listen, I'm with you. He's up against it, the kid. He's taking on an Olympic gold medalist, for crying out loud, who can also see the path opening up for himself. But I think after the performance at the weekend, there's more on that fight now. On December the 5th, there's more on it now. It was interim champion, maybe, you know, fight, a nice little path. But you're right in what you're saying. Luke Campbell, Teofimo Lopez, I'm in. If he can come through it.
How do you rank the lightweight division at the moment? what would you say is in the top 10? Would you even have Devin Haney in the top 10?
Yeah. What? In world lightweight?
Sorry, not the top 10. The top 5. Would you have Devin Haney in the top 5 at lightweight after that performance? Do you rank him in the top 5?
He's unbelievably talented, but you have just touched upon a couple of things. Well, we've touched upon it throughout the whole conversation. He's been unfairly given a world title, not his fault, of which has then raised the expectation level of what he must be doing in a ring. He's obviously going to be compared to the other guys in the ring. We've just seen two unreal performances in the last couple of weeks from these guys. So you're always going to compare it. I mean, when Tank knocked out Santa Cruz, even though it was at super featherweight, you're still talking about it by Wednesday and Thursday. Nobody, no casual fan right now is talking about Devin Haney today. No, nobody at all. No. It's just not happening.
That's because no casual fan could fucking see it.
Yeah, that's another thing as well. Just fucking rubbish. Anyway, is he in the top five? Yeah. Teofimo's just too far ahead of anybody for me.
You've got Teofimo one, and you've got to put Lomer at two because he's only been schooled by one person.
Yes,
so there's your top two.
Yeah.
So you've got 3, 4, and 5.
Honestly,
you've got Tank in there. Are you not ranking Tank as a lightweight?
Yeah, well, this is it. Everybody knows my shtick off last week's podcast. Tank for me is a super featherweight, and he needs to stay at super featherweight and mop up at super featherweight. He will probably compete at lightweight, just that's the way it is. And for ability and what we saw in the Santa Cruz fight, again, it's hard to judge because that's a super feather. He hasn't done it 5 pounds up again, has he? I personally go Teofimo Lopez way ahead. Not way ahead, because Lomachenko's still fucking legit. So you got Teofimo and Lomachenko, even though Lomachenko's not really a lightweight. I have Luke Campbell above them all. I have Luke Campbell at three. And then I've got Tank and Devin. And Ryan Garcia is six for me at the moment.
So you haven't got Linares up there, no?
No, not now. I think his time's been and gone.
Richard Comey, is he gone now?
Fucking hell, yeah. Why have I missed him? Richard Comey just got smashed. He's still an unbelievable fighter. Oh, fuck. You might be right. You might not be in the top five.
Listen, I'm asking a serious question. Is Devin Haney top five?
You might be right.
That Kambosos Jr. kid as well. I know he's not the biggest puncher, but he's undefeated. He's just schooled Lee Selby.
No, he'd come up short. I know he's the IBF mandatory challenger now. Richard Comey's in the top five.
He is.
He is. So maybe you're right, Devin Haney's just not there as of yet. Ryan Garcia, this is what I mean. Ryan Garcia's got a wonderful opportunity on December the 5th to go, hello, guys.
To get in the top five.
I'm the guy. Come on. Mm-hmm. All this internet shit, all this Instagram stuff that you keep referring to me as, I'm actually the real deal. Just beating an Olympic gold medalist. Here we go. So it's exciting.
If Devin Haney,
what a division.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Listen, if Devin Haney would have stopped Gamboa and done exactly what we said he needed to do last week, if he'd have stopped him and looked sensational, would he be in top five?
Yeah.
Probably would have.
Yeah.
I'd have argued against you. I'd have been like, no, Adam, come on. Look what he's just done to that Gamboa. He's got to be top five.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But now there's a real debate that he probably isn't top five.
Yeah.
That just shows you how the shine can come off you, man. With one lackluster, not lackluster even, but just one performance where, let's be honest, there was a light shone on Devin Haney at the weekend, and he isn't bright enough yet to live up to the hype. You know what I mean? He isn't a big enough star yet, certainly to be called a world champion. The talent is there. He's got the ability, but we're not quite there just yet with him. You know, he's a way off his peak. Way off.
Any other fights at the weekend catch your eye? Because like you said, it was fucking dull, the match room.
The card was fucking absolutely rubbish. It was just rubbish. You had Hergovic knocking over some fat sparring partner.
Yeah.
Who's his, you know, how can you match him up against the zone sparring partner? Yeah, like, what the fuck? That Buka was going, oh, good shot. You know, like in sparring with the veterans with a kid. Yeah, good shot that. Yeah, you slipped that well and hit me with a good hand there. Yeah, yeah. What the fuck? This is on the zone. You've got to pay to watch this shit in America. Don't get me wrong. It was great that I was fuming all week that Devin Haney wasn't going to be on UK TV in any way, shape or form. And I was going to have to find a stream to watch it. And then I found a stream on Sunday to watch it and was like, I'm fucking glad it wasn't on TV. It wasn't just Haney that was lackluster. The card was crap. And then you had the big Chinese kid, that Zhang.
Yeah.
Or Zong or whatever his name was. And I'm watching him. And I'm thinking against that Vargas who just looked like some redneck who'd fell out of some bar. And I'm thinking, why am I watching Zhang knock over some little fat pudding? And I'm watching Hergovic knock over some fat old sparring partner. Why aren't they just fighting each other?
Yeah. Mate.
You know what I mean? It's like, there's the obvious solution. And then like fucking Matchroom have got the balls to say, yeah, the perfect fight now for Hergovic would be Derek Chisora. Fuck off. The perfect fight, throw him in with the big Chinese lad. Let's see which one of them can actually fight. Absolute bollocks. Absolute bollocks.
Wasn't just them that were bollocks at the weekend. PBC were bollocks as well. Did you see the King Kong? Luis Ortiz was back. 45 seconds. The whole thing was, listen, the whole thing was shit at the weekend. It was just shit. And do you know something? This is the funny, funny thing. Last week, I got a tweet from someone. It might have been a DM on Instagram or something. And they said, can you stop being so negative towards boxing? We get it. You're a UFC man. Stop being so negative towards boxing. Hang on a minute. Last week's show was fucking positive. I was going crazy on Javonta and Inoue. Fuck knows what you think of this week's show. Jeez. Oh, man. Listen, I haven't even got to the Canelo bit or Tyson Fury's opponent. Gee, this is going to be a belter. You're going to enjoy this one, trust me. Social media is going to be rife off the back of this program. Should we talk Canelo? Because I'm actually...
Yes.
This is actually a positive for me. I know that loads of people have thrown shade on this whole situation, and we have. Listen, we've gone crazy about it, haven't we? Talking about it ever since the deal came in with the Zone. It was just ridiculous to pay a man that amount of money for that amount of fights, and know full well that he was always going to dictate the level of opponent that he was going to fight. I kind of like him breaking away. I like him breaking away from Golden Boy. I like him breaking away from the Zone. I'd love the fact that now, I don't want him teaming up with another promoter. I want him to just manage his own shit. He has now got a responsibility as the premier fighter in the world. And I don't care what anybody says, he is the main man when it comes to fan base in world boxing. He has now got a responsibility to go make the best fights. If he goes and makes the best fights, TV broadcasters will throw money at him. That's it. If he wants to earn 30, 35, 40, 45, $50 million a fight, just go and make the best fights. It's not hard.
Yeah, obviously there's an awful lot of talk about Caleb Plant on December the 19th or even Christmas Day.
Yeah.
I think Canelo said he'll fight on December the 19th or he'll fight on December 25th. The rumoured coming out of the US is that it's going to be Caleb Plant.
I'm all right with that.
It will be.
I'm fine with it.
It'll be
the IBF champion. Oh,
I'm fucking buzzing with it. That's a PB. It'll be a PBC show on Showtime. Which means it will be pay-per-view. So Canelo will get the money he needs. The interesting thing is going to be how the pay-per-view market works out in the pandemic, though. There's a lot of question marks on whether the buy rate will still be there, and that's going to be interesting because obviously it's one thing going from a streaming channel like The Zone, but going back to traditional pay-per-view. During the pandemic, there's concerns there. But listen, if you're Canelo and you haven't got to pay your 10% to Oscar and Golden Boy, you do negotiating yourself now, then there's money to be saved. And listen, of course, I'm pissed off he's not fighting Callum Smith because for me, Callum Smith is the number one. But if you speak to any American journalists and you look at the American websites, they don't rank Callum Smith as the number one in the weight division. They recognize Caleb Plant as the number one in the weight division. So as far as the US audience is concerned, if Canelo goes in and beats Caleb Plant, Canelo is the number one super middleweight in the world by winning the IBF belt. So there's a real thing here that both Callum Smith and I think Billy Joe has already moved on anyway with the Martin Murray fight, but there's a real threat here that both those guys are going to miss out on Canelo forever and a day. Because if, as I say, fight fans in the US, if he beats Caleb Plant and becomes the IBF champ, that is it. Canelo is number one. He's wiped the floor with everybody. He's now that champion as well. And he can move forward and continue to handpick his fight. So I'd be super concerned for them. And this is why we were saying months ago, Callum Smith needs to call out Caleb Plant. If Billy Joe doesn't want it, Callum Smith needs to unify the belts. And him and Caleb Plant could have been done by now. But I think standing back and waiting for that phone to ring has come back and bit them in the arse massively. And they're going to, from what I can see, they're going to miss out on the fight. And Caleb Plant's going to get it. It would be amazing if the fight happened on Christmas Day. That would be fucking awesome.
Yeah, it would be amazing.
Absolutely awesome.
Here's one for you then. Do top level big name fighters need promoters?
Floyd Mayweather says no.
So Tyson Floyd Fury, Anthony Joshua, these types of characters, the biggest names in the world of boxing, I'm on that page. Why have an extra layer in your negotiations? Firstly, you're giving away your own money. I don't understand it. You're a big deal. Promote yourself. Manage yourself. Why do you need to bring somebody else in? Not only is it as an extra layer of finance that you're giving away, it's also an extra layer that is getting in the way of some of the biggest fights in the world happening, because they're obviously lining their own plate. They're also lining their own pocket, and therefore they're going to serve their own self-interest. If you're a fighter and you want to fight the best fighters, manage yourself. That's where I'm at.
Well, Canelo does. He's managed by Eddie Reynoso also anyway. He's managed and trained by Eddie Reynoso also in a similar way that...
Just you.
But the problem there is, and we both more than aware of what happened to the demise of one of my favourite fighters, and I know your number one favourite fighter of all time. We know what happened to Naz, man. Once Naz got rid of Frank, and once Naz and his family started doing all the things himself, they got completely shafted because Naz and his family didn't have anywhere near the kind of experience Frank had in negotiating big fights, in being around big promotions, in basically being a promoter. So I'd be careful just to get rid of a promoter. Listen, it's slightly different for Canelo because he's fucking been around the game more than once. And if anyone can do what Mayweather did, it's certainly Canelo from this point. Mm. But, you know, I wouldn't trust, with all due respect, I wouldn't want Tyson Fury to get rid of Bob Arum and Frank Warren and then suddenly one of Tyson's cousins is trying to do negotiations in terms of rings and gloves and all that kind of stuff, because with all due respect to the Fury family, they've got nowhere near the type of experience needed to negotiate with commissions and shit like that. So you've got to be super careful. I think there's a real role for a promoter, yes. But if you're Canelo and you are the biggest star on the planet and you've basically just realized that Golden Boy and DAZN in some way, shape or form were shafting you out of your money and you've got rid of them and you're now at this point, you definitely don't sign with Top Rank or PBC. Of course you don't. Or Matchroom. Obviously the Matchroom thing seems impossible because of the break-off with DAZN. But it certainly allows you to go to these promotions and go, okay, I'll fight your guy one off. This is what I want on the table. I don't need any of your bullshit. All I need is what you're paying me. I ain't paying you. What are you going to pay me? So I get that, yes, absolutely.
Okay, then. With that in mind, are you surprised that Clarissa Shields is teaming up with Dana White? They're having a little bit of a working relationship all kicking off, and I'm sure that people who listen to us on a regular basis, will have heard us refer to Clarissa Shields before on the boxing and the MMA shows, with her being at UFC events over the last 12 to 18 months. And it is no coincidence that their working relationship gets underway in the build-up to UFC 256. Who's headlining UFC 256? Amanda Nunes. That's right. Are we going to see Clarissa Shields stepping into the world of mixed martial arts / crossover fights boxing pretty soon, mate?
I think so, absolutely, because Clarissa Shields is at the point now, and I know Savannah Marshall broke through and picked up one of Clarissa's old belts the other week, and there's certainly a rhetoric there to see that play out in a boxing ring, but, you know, with all due respect to Savannah Marshall, she's nowhere near the draw that Amanda Nunes is. So I think, you know, we know Clarissa Shields has been training MMA since the start of this year. Mm. All she needs to do is work on takedown defense. That's all she's got to do. But that's fucking easier said than done. But yeah, I absolutely think there will be a double header, at least between Amanda Nunes and Clarissa Shields. It does both of their popularity and both their stardom in the US and globally absolutely nothing but positives. And I think it's an amazing move. What I want to do is try and get close enough to Dana to see if... Because listen, you know, we've been pushing this narrative for the last 18 months, 2 years about women fighting 3-minute rounds. And, you know, the commissions shrugged their shoulders. The promoters, like Eddie, has gone, what can I do? You can do everything. And the fighters want it. I spoke to Clarissa Shields herself, as you know. Clarissa Shields said she would happily do 3-minute rounds. And I think if Dana White's going to make any kind of immediate impact in the sport of boxing, and, you know, Clarissa Shields is probably the greatest women's boxer we've ever seen. Certainly success would lend itself to that. And, you know, she's done it all. Three-weight world champion, 2-time Olympic gold medalist. You know, no one's ever done what she's doing. I'm not saying that's not a big sign and a big way to start, but it's still women's boxing, which to the mainstream still remains slightly niche. So I'm surprised that's going to be Dana White's first foray into the world of boxing, but it makes absolute sense. And I think the way to do it would be, boom, we're Zuffa Boxing. We're going live with Clarissa Shields.
On Fight Pass.
It's going to be three.
It's on Fight Pass as well, yeah.
UFC Fight Pass, their own streaming channel. and we're going to do 3-minute rounds. That would be fucking amazing if it's possible.
Mm. It's quite apt that you brought that up because we've got a card this weekend with three women's world title fights, of which we'll get into in a minute, obviously featuring Katie Taylor and what have you. But there's a little bit of other news that we would just want to get stuck into. White Povetkin's off. November the 21st was the date. Alexander Povetkin's tested positive. Nothing new there then. But this time it's for COVID-19. We wish him all the best in his recovery, and we get to see this fight rescheduled for January the 31st. Was it 30th? 31st? Back end of January is when it is. It's been rescheduled for that. Now, my initial thoughts on this, mate. I'm delighted that this fight's off. Reason being, I thought November 21st was too soon for Dillian. You can't get knocked out like that, rush straight back in. Your head's all over the place. You're thinking to yourself, right, we've got Anthony Joshua fighting in a couple of weeks. There's so much going on in his head. You want a nice, clear head going into the fight, doing the business. Cool, calm, collected, come through, get the victory, and then we can move forward. I thought November the 21st was too soon. I'm happy that he's got an extra 8 weeks in order to get himself straight. And in that 8-week period, AJ and Pulev and all that type of stuff, Tyson Fury, that will have all played itself out. So I'm kind of happy initially that the fight is off. I'm not surprised at all that there was chat when the fight was called off, that they were that Eddie and Dillian were pushing for the Tyson Fury fight on December the 5th. No shit, Sherlocks. Of course you're going to take that fight, right? The reason that you're going to take that fight is because you're probably about 18 months away, realistically, from getting a world title shot. That's where you're at right now. If we're going to get Fury AJ next year, we don't want to see Dillian White in a world title effort because we want to see the big boys going at it on a couple of occasions. So, no, I'm not surprised whatsoever that they all went, oh, Fury? Yeah, we'll have it. Will anybody fancy Fury? Yeah, of course. We're all in for that, but there's not a cat in hell's chance that that fight is going to get made in that short period of time. And why would it? Because with all due respect, Dillian, you just got smoked off Alexander Povetkin. You've got business to take care of to get yourself back on the even keel in the heavyweight title picture.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like, all right, Povetkin's outside. Okay, well, I'll tell you what, then I'll fight Fury for the world title, shall I? I'm fit, I'm ready. And Eddie's on, yeah, makes perfect sense. Just let them slip straight in. So then Chisora's like, actually, I'm sound after Usyk, you know, put up a good challenge there. Everyone's kind of saying, maybe Usyk's not all that now because I was such a good performer. I'm ready to go again. I'll do the third fight with Dillian. And suddenly Eddie and Dillian lose their voice then. They don't want to talk about it. So they're quite happy to look up. They just don't want to look down or sideways or whatever. I think the Chisora fight would have been great replacements.
Yeah.
I'd have been all over for that. I'd have loved to have seen a third fight between them.
Well, that's it. On that, because there's loads of people that were throwing shade on us this week, because I stuck it out on social media. If Eddie Hearn comes out and he says, Dillian White, Derek Chisora, 3, it's happening in 12 weeks' time, pay-per-view, we're all going to turn our nose up at that. We're all going to go, why? We've seen it. Seen it twice. Yeah, we had two good fights, but why are we doing that again? He's flogging a dead horse and it's obviously a cash grab. That's what you're looking for right now. But when you shorten that time frame down to it's a 2-week notice, last minute replacement, and Derek has jumped on social media, he's doing what we all love as fight fans, he's showing how game he is, he's like, well, I've just gone 12 rounds with this fucker, come on, man, I'm ready to rock and roll, let's go again, yeah. Yeah, exactly. I'm in on that, and I would have been in on it, no question.
Just on that, yeah, me too, 100%. Just on the whole cancellation of the fight, though, have you seen Povetkin's positive coronavirus certificate?
I ain't seen anything. I ain't seen anything, mate. What are you saying now? You can't listen. You can't throw shit in the guy.
Listen, I'm just saying, motherfucker might be on a cycle, bro. Know what I mean? He's on his bike, getting back on his cycle, if you know what I mean. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. We've been here before, Mr. Povetkin. The rematch being so quick was always going to have an impact on his preparation. And that's why I'm not fucking surprised the fight's off. Call me a cynic as much as you like. Call me a cynic as much as you like.
Mm.
Motherfucker juicy.
Take, what did you make of Michael Hunter this week? He came out on social media. He called everyone out. Yeah, well, he did call everybody out. He says he'll fight him for free. You know, that's the fight. Why? This is
means
right.
As well.
Let's get into this, right? Because people are they listen to us all the time and they go, "Oh, Matchroom haters, you're all BT Sport, you're all Frank Warren, all this type of stuff. Right, here we go. Ajit Kabayel for Tyson Fury is not good enough. It is a piss poor matchup. He is a European club level fighter and the WBC heavyweight champion of the world, the best heavyweight on the planet, should not be having a keep him busy fight. That's not how this should work. Tyson Fury, I get it, was supposed to be fighting Deontay Wilder in this trilogy. And that's where his head was at, and that's where everybody was going at this particular point. Okay, we know what's going on with Wilder. That fight's not happening, so Tyson Fury needs to fight, yeah? Mainly, I don't know, maybe it's for his own mental health, maybe it's just for himself. I don't know. He needs to fight. He is the best heavyweight on the planet. That's my opinion. I know it's not absolutely set in stone because people might think it's AJ. But for me, he's the best heavyweight on the planet. There are quite capable fighters now that he could fight on December the 5th that are worthy of stepping in the ring with the best fighter on the planet, especially given the Wilder narrative. All right, if it's not going to be Wilder and it's not going to be AJ because he's got to take care of his IBF mandatory with Kubrat Pulev, then someone like Michael Hunter, for example, is absolutely perfect to step in and fight the best fighter on the planet, not some kid that's been knocking about on European level. It's piss poor and it needs to be called out. And boxing fans, right, if AJ had done this, if AJ would have announced this dude, boxing Twitter would have gone fucking wild. Absolutely wild, giving him so much shit. Why is Tyson Fury not getting shit? Don't give me, oh, well, he's just been in with... someone tweeted me this week saying his last two fights were Wilder. No, they fucking weren't. His last fight was Wilder and he was brilliant. His fight before it was Otto Wallin. His fight before that were Tom fucking Schwartz, right? Don't give me this. The best fighter on the planet should be taking on the best challenges every single time he steps into the ring. Boxing and its fan base needs to change its mentality and stop accepting this bullshit that we're getting thrown upon, all right? The best should be defending against the best. And Ajit Kabayel is not the fucking best. There you go.
He's not the best, but listen, the fight's been put together with, what, 5 weeks, 6 weeks' notice?
They've had longer than that. Come on, man. They knew that he wanted to fight. Michael Hunter's just said that he'd fight for free. He's there. He's ready.
So why should Michael Hunter get a shot at the world title?
Because he's rated in the top 10. He's one of their heavyweight contenders. He's just fought Povetkin, right?
And got robbed. He should have beat
him. He got robbed. He beat Povetkin.
Got the decision.
He beat him.
He did, yeah.
So that's the guy. Fight that guy. Fight someone that's making waves. Ajit Kabayel.
Hasn't fought in a year.
Who?
Michael Hunter.
And? What's that got to do with anything? Give him a fight.
Just saying he hasn't fought in a year.
Stop it. You think exactly like me. Stop doing this now. Stop diluting this argument. You think exactly like me. You know it's bollocks.
If with 5 weeks to go, whatever it is, till a fight, if they'd have turned around and said, you know what? Chisora was great against Usyk. We're going to give Chisora a shot at the world title against Fury because Usyk doesn't want it or whatever it may be. Let's just say they went down that road. We're going to do Chisora. Would you have been upset?
Would I have been
as upset?
Well, he's
would you have been as
he's
upset?
Beaten Derek already, hasn't he?
So that would have been even worse opponents.
No, it wouldn't have been worse opponent. It wouldn't have been a worse opponent. No.
So you'd rather see Chisora fight Fury for the world title than the unbeaten European champion.
Mate, come on. No, because Kabayel's beaten Chisora, right? So I'm not having...
There you go.
What do you mean, there you go? Do you know that Chisora didn't turn up in Monaco? He couldn't be arsed. That was a very different Chisora. And why is Chisora coming to this conversation? I'm talking about Michael Hunter, mate. Michael Hunter should... That was the fight. That was the fight to make. Go and make that fight.
I agree with you. Michael Hunter would have been a better option. But all I'm saying is, with 5-6 weeks to go, bringing in the undefeated current European champion, and you've got to bear in mind that the WBC owns the EBU.
Yeah.
So
I know how it works. That's what I'm saying.
So if you're the European champion, you've got your highly ranked and highly thought of with the WBC. That's how it works. You become European champion, you get a high ranking with the WBC. So on paper, it works. Listen, Tyson is playing the game of boxing. Why go in there? Why hand an opportunity to a Michael Hunter when you can go into your own the WBC's own rankings, pick out an undefeated fighter, a European champion, and go on, let's give him an opportunity then. Listen, this is boxing, man. It's not MMA. The best don't fight the best all the time. Is Khabib?
So you're accepting that? You're okay with
that? I've got to accept Pulev. I don't want to see AJ fight Pulev either. I think AJ's going to smash Pulev to bits.
Yeah.
But that's the game of boxing. Pulev's the top contender. He's got to fight him next or lose the belt. That's just the way the fucking game plays.
There you go. It's just the way this shit, and it's been made like this from people lining their fucking pockets for years and years and years and years. And us as fans sit here going, are you taking the piss out of me or what, man? Come on.
So it's going to be interesting to see if indeed Dana White comes into boxing with Clarissa Shields. It's going to be interesting to see what direction he takes when he moves into the men's side of the game.
Mm.
Because I'm not happy AJ's fighting Pulev, and I'm not happy that Tyson Fury's fighting Khabib. I want them to fight each other. I couldn't give a fuck about these two guys.
Same.
I want AJ and Tyson just to win that fight so they can get it on next year.
Should we get it on now, mate? You want to have a fight, lads? Do it now. I'm ready for you. Christmas Day, let's go.
Fucking right. Boom. If only. Anyway, let's talk about the girls this weekend.
Don't jump the gun. There's loads of fights this week.
There's Friday night fights as well.
No. There's Tuesday. So you've got the ultimate.
Oh, yeah.
So you got the ultimate boxer on Tuesday.
Which is a load of wank. It is. It's fucking rubbish. Sorry. It's just rubbish.
I'm just not a fan. Listen, we said we'd be positive at this particular point of the podcast, right? Yeah. So Tuesday, ultimate boxer. Yeah?
Brilliant. Can't wait. Cannot wait. I love it. I love that format. DJs playing music and all that shit and people bouncing around acting cool. I love it, man.
Wednesday, MTK are putting a show on. And I want to wish... MTK are doing some good stuff at the moment. They're putting on some good competitive cards. I don't know how competitive the main event's going to be, but I don't give a shit because I like Macaulay McGowan. Everybody has seen him popping up on social media throughout the course of the lockdown and everything that's going on with his little lab. And all the things that he's been doing in order to raise money and what have you. He's got a wonderful opportunity on Wednesday night, WBC International Super Welterweight Belt, I think it is, against the guy who's, I think he's only in his second fight. The kid that's
1-0.
He's 1-0. But fuck it, man. Go for it, Macaulay. Go and do the business. I know you listen to the show. We'll definitely be watching on Wednesday night for that. Then Friday night, yeah? Here we go. Now, do you know that we've just been slagging everything off? Here we go. Proper matchup in the main event. I'm happy. Look at my face. I'm smiling. Frank, this is what we wanted to see. We wanted to see Mark Efron and Denzel Bentley going at it again. The first fight was brilliant. I personally thought Denzel took his foot off the gas and kind of threw it away. So it's going to be interesting now to see what he does on Friday night. Now that he knows he can go the distance, because he's used to blowing everybody away, isn't he? Now that he knows he can go the distance, does he commit earlier? Does that then play into Mark Efron's hands because he loves a scrap? That is a good fight. Well done, matchmaker. Happy. Look at us now, eh? We can talk about something that we're excited about.
Yeah, the first fight was cool. I'm looking forward to it, man.
Yeah.
I can't get to the energy levels you are because it is what it is.
Yeah.
It's a decent little domestic scrap.
Yeah, but it's Friday night. Come on, mate. It's Friday night. You normally just knocking one out and eating fucking popcorn. You know what I mean? Here we go.
It's next gen level Friday night stuff. I get it. Okay. I'm on board. I'm on board. It is what it is. It's an hors d'oeuvre to the bigger things to come. But it is a good matchup, man. These two are very well matched up, and the first fight was good. So I'll give you that. And I'm looking forward to seeing my boy, Tommy Fury, coming back on that card as well. Because he's looking ripped to bits. And I like Tommy Fury. He's a top kid.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Nice lad.
Yeah, man.
Then we fast forward to Saturday because we have got three women's world title fights.
There we go.
On the card. And then obviously we've got A Brit going abroad to try and become a world champion as well in the early hours of the morning. We'll get to that last. Katie Taylor. I'll be honest with you. Katie Taylor could fight the woman from Tesco and I'd still fucking pay to go and watch it because she's that fucking good, right? I don't give a shit who Katie Taylor's fighting. Put her in with whoever. Not bothered. I love her. Absolutely can't get enough of watching Katie Taylor fight. So Miriam Gutierrez, you're up this weekend, kid. I'm happy, man. I'm happy that Katie Taylor's fighting. I'm cool.
Yes, this is obviously the pinnacle of the weekend for me because, like you, Katie Taylor could well be my favourite fighter in all of boxing. She's absolutely brilliant. I love watching her fight. I think this is a good fight as well. Gutierrez is undefeated. She's tough. She's a veteran. Obviously, I think Katie Taylor's going to do a number on her and defend all these belts. But yeah, man, I'm fucking fully signed up on the Katie Taylor fan club. I'd watch a fight every week. I would watch Katie Taylor fight every week. And I don't want to chat. I don't want to go on about the whole 3-minute round thing because it sounds like an old fucking rhetoric now. But if Katie Taylor was fighting 3-minute rounds, she would have so many fucking highlight reel moments in her career that the whole planet would be drinking from the Katie Taylor Kool-Aid. At the moment, and she is a representative of the whole of women's boxing, it's being held back by these 2-minute rounds because girls can tough it through 2-minute rounds with Katie Taylor. Mm. But believe me, technically, she's fucking immense. I love watching her fight and I can't wait to see her do a number on Gutierrez on Saturday night.
Absolutely. You've then got Terry Harper defending her belts against Katharina Thanders. I'll be honest, I'm disappointed that this is not Terry Harper rematching Natasha Jonas. That's where I'm
me
at.
Me too.
That's what 100%. I'm
100%. Listen, Eddie's got his own ideas, and at the moment, Eddie's having some real issues with Joe Gallagher and Joe Gallagher's stable, and that's between them, man. You know, listen, what's been said has been said, and they've got to sort that out now because Joe's got to get a working relationship with the biggest promoter in the UK for his guys and girls, and you know, and Eddie's got to realise that there's a shitload of talent in that gym, and they need work as well. So hopefully, they can get it sorted out. But right now, the fact Terry Harper's fighting a girl that last year or the year before beat Rachel Ball.
Yeah, I know.
Who's fighting on the same card at bantamweight.
Yeah.
You know, Katie Thanders. The Rachel Ball fight, she was fucking tiny. So I can only imagine against Terry Harper, this kid, she's about 5 foot. Honestly, Katie Thanders is about 5 foot. Terry Harper's going to be able to jab her head off from the other side of the ring. Mm-hmm. It's going to look like an embarrassing mismatch. And this is supposed to be Katie defending a world title. I think she'll pepper Katie Thanders all over the gaff. Mm. And it's going to look bad on Matchroom. Like, this is what I don't understand. Katie Harper and Natasha Jonas, whichever way you thought it went, and I think for me, and I'm biased because obviously I'm biased because I've known Tasha a long time. Tasha Jonas should be the world champion right now.
Correct.
We should be getting a rematch of one of the best fights of the year.
Correct.
And I'm a little bit embarrassed for Terry Harper that she's being forced to go down this road when everyone around Terry Harper, listen, when people walk up to you and say, oh, Terry, you were lucky in your last fight, that doesn't mean they're saying you were lucky in your last fight. That means they're saying you fucking lost your last fight.
Exactly.
And you shouldn't have that belt anymore. And that's not fair on Terry Harper because she put in a great fight as well against Natasha Jonas. Terry Harper should have put her foot down. Terry Harper should have said to Eddie, nah, fuck that. I'm not fighting some little 5 foot woman that was fighting at bantamweight last year defending my world title. No way. I want to fight Natasha Jonas. That's the fight that makes sense. Mm-hmm. She needs to force it and make it happen. And at this weekend, hopefully Terry does that. Hopefully, I guarantee she gets a win over this kid. It's hard. If it was 3-minute rounds, I would predict 3 stoppages here for the 3 English girls.
Yeah.
Probably it's not 3-minute rounds, so you're probably going to get points decisions. Mm. But Terry Harper should be demanding a fight with Natasha Jonas this weekend. And if Sky Sports have got anything about them, regardless of what's going on between Eddie and Joe Gallagher, Natasha Jonas has got to be ringside this Saturday. She's got to be in the bubble. She's got to be commentating or at least doing some analysis on the Terry Harper fight. So Sky Sports need to build that up because we want to see the rematch. It was a fucking great first fight. We want to see it. Mm-hmm. Do your job.
You know where the narrative's going in this last fight. Rachel Ball's taking on Georgelina Giannini. Ebony Bridges was the original fighter that Rachel Ball was supposed to be fighting, but obviously she pulled out of that fight and we slagged it at the time, didn't we? We said, how the fuck is this happening that you've got a girl that's just steamed in off Instagram fighting for a world title against the girl who's never competed in this particular weight category for that world title? It seemed quite obvious as to the narrative that was trying to be thrown our way, where obviously you've got Shannon Courtney just lurking in the background, where I'm sure Matchroom want to make a world champion. Rachel Ball, I think, will win this weekend, just because of her experience. And I kind of like the story of her winning as well. Everything that she... I mean, she's a girl that has this normal life, this normal day job. She's training her bollocks off in order to become a fighter. And she now finds herself fighting for a world title at the weekend. So I don't want to throw too much shade on it. I wanted to go out there. I wanted to do the business and I wanted to get her hand raised. Fair play to her. But we kind of know where this is going. Once that happens, yeah, her next fight is going to be the rematch with Shannon Courtney, don't we?
Yeah, of course. Again, you know, that's definitely 100% where it's going to go. This, you know, let's be honest. This just amplifies the lack of strength and depth in this in women's boxing. That the fact that this is going to be a world title fight, with bullshit, all due respect to Rachel Ball and Gianni. Like, Gianni's the former flyweight world champion.
I know.
You know, in fact, it's Gianni, not Fernandez. Is normal size. Sorry, it's Gianni who's the midget. She's like 5 foot. She's like a former flyweight champion.
Politically correct as ever you are, yeah.
Sorry, not. What's the right word to use? Sorry, do you not use?
Just small. She's 5 foot.
Small.
Man.
She's 5 foot. Yeah, Gianni's like 5 foot. Former flyweight champion. Apologies for that comment, but yeah, man, she's tiny. And Rachel Ball's big. Rachel Ball is a big bantamweight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's like big and long. So this is going to be the absolute mismatch. And this is, again, you know, it just doesn't look good, man. It's not going to look good. I think sometimes you get wrapped up in throwing belts.
The thing is, it's all going to get covered because Katie Taylor's there. Katie Taylor's the best. She is.
Yes.
And it'll look amazing. And she and we'll all come away and go, fucking hell, Kate. We'll forget about it. Within half an hour to an hour, it'll be diluted because Katie Taylor will do what she does. And all this chat that we're going on about now about it being a bullshit opponent for Terry Harper and it being a bullshit fight for a world title, it'll have gone. People have forgot about it.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, those two women's fights I'm not looking forward to, I've got to be honest, because,
Katie Taylor,
you know, for those reasons. But Katie Taylor, can't wait. And also, the other two fights that are confirmed on there, I'm looking forward to seeing Thomas Whitaker Hart, who's a Scouse lad, who's a real good talent. Bellew's looking after him now. He's got a big step up against Jermaine Springer, who's no joke. So that's going to be interesting to see Whitaker Hart go up a few levels. And then John Doherty as well, the undefeated Scottish kid. He's taking on Little Leavers Meat Cleaver.
It's good, this.
In Jack Cullen.
Cullen, yeah.
Mate, that's a fucking good fight, you know, because Doherty, I know he's 9-0. But he hasn't fought anybody.
Yeah,
his record is piss poor against opponents. I don't think he's fought anyone. Or if he may have fought one person with a winning record, everyone else has been a bum. And that's no knock on John Doherty.
No.
You know, he's been waiting for the opportunity. Mm-hmm. The opportunity is here now. We know Jack Cullen's game. We know Jack Cullen can fight. So that could steal a show. That one for me could be a cracker.
No, I'm with you, man. I'm with you. Then we're going over to Premier Sports. That's where we're going for the babby. It's on, isn't it? It's on. We're going for it, mate. £147 world title against Terence Bud Crawford this weekend in the MGM bubble. Can't wait, mate. I'm going to bring it home. I'm going to bring home them brownies. Listen, I'm leaving the voice to a side for a second because the fight, I mean, I've got mixed emotions about the fight. I want Kel just to roll it back. I want him to be pre Errol Spence, pre Gennady Golovkin, £147 killer, going over to the States, taking on the very best, beating the very best. I want that guy. I don't want the guy that came back and then obviously kind of meandered that career through Jojo Dan and all that type of stuff and then was forced to take a Golovkin fight because he couldn't get a decent knock with anybody. I want him to be the guy that became world champion when he first went over to America. And if we get that version of him, we're in for a good fight. I'm not even saying that version beats Terence Crawford, because Terence Crawford is, for me, the smoothest, most natural boxer that the world has right now. He switches his stances beautifully. Either hand, he's got dynamite power. He can put you to kip. He doesn't coast through fights, even though he could. He could box your head off, but he's always looking to finish you. We've seen it countless times. I hope that he is at his best. I hope that Kell's at his best and we get a Fight of the Year contender. I really do, because fucking hell, we need it, man. We don't need just Kell turned up, he got smashed in 2-3 rounds. That's not what we need. We need something really special.
Yeah, man. Listen, I think if Terence Crawford turns up at his best, it doesn't matter what carnation of Kell Brook turns up. You know, if Terence Crawford turns up at 100%, you know, it doesn't fucking matter. You could have two Kell Brooks in there. You know, Terence Crawford's absolutely fucking bob on. He's absolutely brilliant. And, you know, Kell's just never... I feel so sorry for Kell, man, because he was the guy. Kell was the best welterweight, man. He was the fucking guy. And he couldn't get the big fights, couldn't get the opportunities. He was undefeated.
Well, I think a lot of it, I don't know whether it's his attitude, his family's attitude, or whether there's something with the promotion. They should have just stayed in America. They came home. That's not where the fights were. The big monster fights were at 147 in the States. Once he became champion over there, he proved that he can do it. Stay over there. Keep going over to America. I get that you want to have all this thing at the Sheffield Arena and what have you, but that was the mistake for me. Stay in America and you're more likely to get the fights.
Yeah, he just took himself out of the picture, didn't he? You know, as you say, he came back and there was a big domestic fight with Frankie Gavin, of course, which made sense at the time, which doesn't look as obviously, you know, that was the end of Frankie Gavin, wasn't it? So that it took the shine off it completely now. And then the Bizier fight just kind of ticked the box to do the Sheffield Arena, but it was a big drop in opponent. But by then, you know, by removing himself from that, the lively US scene, for those 18 months or whatever it was, it just took Kell out of the title picture, man, and people were happy to move on. He became the world champion that nobody needs. And then obviously we know what happened then. He had to fucking jump in at late notice and take an opportunity against Golovkin, which at the time we were like, mate, he's fucking so ballsy, Kell. It's amazing, blah, blah. But he's just never been the same person since.
No.
He's never been the same person since. And, you know, in hindsight, they took the Golovkin fight for the money. Mm-hmm. Of course they did. You know, and then they thought they could bounce back with the Errol Spence fight. What they didn't realise, that Errol Spence was fucking mustard. Mm-hmm. And the division had moved on in that short space of time. You know, and then being stopped the way he did against Errol Spence, suddenly now there's doubt in the back of the mind. You know, we talked about it at the time. Every fighter on the planet, including Terence Crawford, will think the same thing. You bash this kid up, he doesn't want to be there no more. He's scared of getting hurt again.
Yeah.
And the fact that Kell is doing it. And listen, we talked about it at the top of the show. He's doing it on his own terms. Mm-hmm. He's got no promoter. He's negotiated the fight himself, which means he's going to probably, hopefully, get the biggest payday of his career. That's great. But it just feels like a payday. It feels like a swan song.
Yeah.
He can't pick and choose now because he's desperate to get back in the welterweight picture. But, you know, this will be the first time he's made welterweight since Errol Spence as well. I don't know, man. I can envisage a very similar performance to what Amir Khan put in.
Yeah.
Get in there. To make all the right noises. Walk the walk. As soon as Crawford gets in there and starts letting his hands go, start looking for an out.
Yeah.
And I can't see it going. What did Amir go? Four rounds, six rounds before he quit?
Yeah.
Six rounds when he quit?
Mm-hmm.
I hope I'm wrong. I truly hope I'm wrong. But I don't think Kell Brook gets past six rounds either.
Yeah. It's horrible, that. It's horrible.
It is horrible.
Because we want it. We believe, you know, we're dreamers. We love the romance of this sport. That's why we're here. We want Kell to ride into America and put on a career best performance. But I just can't see it. I really can't see it. Terence Crawford is the real deal. And I hope Terence Crawford, I mean, I've got an interview coming out with him this week, but I hope he just changes his mentality as well this week, because he doesn't call dudes out. He doesn't. He ain't that guy, is he? He's just a great boxer. He's a savage, the dude. Yeah. In real life,
yeah,
he's a proper savage. Do it on the microphone, man. Stick it in there and just go, right, this guy, Spence, let's stop fucking about, man. Me and you, for everything, let's get this fight on. Because that's the fight that we all want to see. I personally think that what is going to happen is that Crawford's going to beat Brook. I think he'll get a Pacquiao fight. And then I think we'll get Spence. That's how I think that this will all play out.
Yeah, but the problem is both Pacquiao and Spence now are kind of, well, Spence definitely is tied to be PBC.
Yeah.
Pacquiao signed with Conor McGregor's fucking management company, which means Conor McGregor, who's fighting a southpaw in the UFC in January, and he's basically made no secret of the fact that, yeah, man, I'm making inroads come back in the UFC, but there's a reason why I'm fighting a southpaw is to keep me options open in terms of fighting Manny Pacquiao. They're both signed to the same promotion. They do a big fight in Asia or the Middle East. They fucking print their own money, just like Conor McGregor did against Floyd Mayweather. So I think the Pacquiao fight's gone for Terence Crawford. And I think, because Conor McGregor doesn't even have to win in the UFC, the fight with Pacquiao would still happen. I think there's no way he fights Pacquiao next year. And I think there's no way he fights Errol Spence, because regardless of how Errol Spence looks against Garcia, they're going to tie him up PBC to fight the rest of the PBC guys. I just don't know how to tell Terence Crawford moves forward in this weight division. I truly don't.
Yeah.
I think Terence Crawford's future lies back down at light welter. Go back down to light welter and take on Josh Taylor, take on the unified guys down there. There's big fights down there. Teofimo Lopez potentially moving up. Top Rank owns the lightweight and super lightweight divisions right now. It doesn't own the welterweight division. PBC does.
Good point.
Terence Crawford is just fucked. He could be the best welterweight in the world, but politics means we'll never find out. Terence Crawford should just move back down to light welter to 10 stone. And prove he's still the best 10-stoner on the planet, because there's some motherfucking killers down there, and that's where Top Rank makes the money.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think I'm with you on that. I think we've been, 50-50 positive on this show today? Well, I have. More 75. No, you're probably more 75 positive. I think you've been more positive than me today.
Yeah, a bit more positive. A bit more positive.
Listen. If Kel wins, tune in next Monday. If Kel does the business, tune in next Monday, because we'll be fucking going crackers.
Let's just hope he's able to turn the clock back, man. Let's just hope Kel fucking goes out on his shield and puts in the kind of performance that his legacy deserves. I would hate to see Kel Brook, you know, pull out of that fight, the corner throw in the towel, just to be completely and utterly outclassed. And unfortunately, that's the way I see it going. I would just love Kel to get in there, win a couple of rounds, legit win a couple of rounds against Terence Crawford. Do I think he'll win even on his best day? No. Do I think it could be a great fight on his best day? Yes.
Yeah.
It could be a great fight if Kel is able to be on his very best day. I just don't know whether his very best day is fucking 3 or 4 years ago.
Thank you very much for listening to us. You can subscribe via iTunes. Please do so. And also leave a comment if you've not done that as of yet on iTunes. It just helps with the visibility in the iTunes charts. We've been flying up the charts recently. It'd be great to get some more comments off you. So please do so. Leave them on iTunes. If you need an Android feed, fightdisciples.com is what you need. We've got links to all our bits there. So whether it's social media, YouTube channel, shop, you name it, it's all there. Fightdisciples.com. Go and get yourself stuck in. Smile, because boxing is back this week. Lots to get stuck into. And hopefully next Monday, we're sat here going, wow, woo, wee. Did you see that? We'll come back next week and we'll find out. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, subscribe via iTunes.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times. And stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro. Easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.